All right. So, and for Q&A, you've been on here a long time, so you let me know. I don't want to abuse your time here, so you kind of let me know at some point in here when you need to wrap it up. But I know that I've got tons of questions from people here, so I know they'd like to get on and ask you a few questions.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
All right, so here we go. All right, we're going to go back live. All right, this is Jeffrey Sisk, and you're watching American Liberty Live, and we're joined tonight by Tom Gamble, and been talking about a wide array of things about America and, you know, some of our history, some known and unknown. And we're going to segue over now and do some Q&A with you guys. And what we'll do, I've got a bunch of people here in Skype that have asked questions, and what I'm going to do is just bring you guys on and let you ask those questions yourself. Also, if you'd like to be in this call, go ahead and call in on the Skype account now, or just let me know by sending me a message here in Skype so I'll know. And if you hang on, I'll give you the new number again. I know we talked about this last night, but I can take as many of you guys that want to call in now at 352-436-0010, and then that plugs you right in with all the Skype callers and everybody can hear each other. That's 352-436-0010. And we've got the first one coming in here is Breeze. How you doing tonight, Breeze?
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great.
Good, good, good.
You got a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Let me just shut the show down here. Hold on. I was surprised you answered me so quick.
All right.
All right. Okay. My question is, let me get it because I have it written down here. Tom,
yes.
How are you doing tonight?
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, there's it was called the National Emergency Act, I believe. And I just kind of learned about it here recently. And what I was told when I was mentioning, like, the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act, I was told that the National Emergency Act was actually created quite some time ago, but due to that, the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act were able to be actually put into place.
Mm-hmm.
And that when I thought that, you know, that famous New Year's Eve night when Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act part that said, you know, indefinite detention, can pick you up, don't have to charge you, you know, you can be disappeared. Apparently, I was told that that's actually in the National Emergency Act. And I was wondering if you could expound on that for us. Tell us, like, who created that, when it got created, what is it, and how it intertwines into all this.
Ooh, I'm not prepared for that, but I tell you, it goes back to FDR. Yeah, you know, I...
Okay.
Loaded question.
That's
right.
A loaded question there. That one, I can't really, you know, I'd have to look it up right quick and give the details on it. But every president's had one.
It gets renewed yearly,
There you go. It goes back to FDR. War Powers Act.
Okay.
They always have it. They got to have it. It follows the same boilerplate.
Okay. All right. That was my question.
Yeah, the continuity of government in a time of national disaster.
Now,
right.
I want to throw in, it's in the middle, and I don't usually do that to you, Breeze, but I brought this on the show a couple nights ago, Tom. Obama just renewed, and somebody sent me the executive order that renewed for another year last month the state of emergency from 9/11. And evidently, this has been being renewed every year since Bush signed the original executive order the week after 9/11. And it puts our country in a state of we have been in a continuous state of emergency since 9/11.
Since 1860s. Lincoln
right, but I'm saying in modern times, I mean, this is proof for anybody to look at, and there are legal ramifications. It's kind of like when a state government declares a state of emergency and then it triggers federal aid. You know, we're in a national state of emergency, and that triggers some of these things, like the government to be able to confiscate things or do things. And I put that on the air the other night. Maybe that's why our president has been acting like a dictator, because in the situation in a national state of emergency, he has power to do that. It's already been granted, right? So if we are under a state of emergency that has already been defined before, and through National Defense Authorization Act and previous federal executive orders, and we are under that declared emergency, he has those powers right now, does he not?
Yes, it does. You got Training with the Enemy Act in 1917 also.
Right. And I was shocked to see this document, and nobody's talking about it.
It gets all the same.
Okay.
They always got to have them in place.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, 2009, they'd planned a national disaster with the flu. And they had already started the rhetoric on the news about thousands of people died from the flu, which they didn't.
Right.
And they had lots of LOTS, not lots and lots, but had certain lots of vaccinations. And that was how they're going to give the flu, was by the vaccination.
And it was swine flu that year. I remember all
that.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Well, they called it off. They weren't ready for it. You see?
Yeah, there was a huge, huge PR machine running there, getting people set up for an epidemic. And you're right, it did not happen. Anyway, go ahead, Breeze. I didn't mean to jump in there, but it hit me square between the eyes that I needed to bring that out, you know.
No, that was great. No. That's what this conversation does. It triggers a lot of our past thoughts, you know, things that we've run across. So good. I was given a document during that conversation, which I will post in the social stream. I put it right here for you right now. And the title of that document is U.S. Unofficial Compilation of the Legal Information Institute, Title 50, War and National Defense. Mm-hmm. It's quite a long document, but it's a PDF. But that was in response to my discussion. So there you go.
All right, thank you.
I'll put it in the social stream.
All right. All right, and we've had Minnesota Mad join us now. Have you got a question for Tom?
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Can you give us any information on what you know from the Freemasons and what they've done to our currency as far as putting symbols and things on our currency? And I've even heard on the Washington Monument, on the steps going up, that some of the statements, even on the corner of the Washington Monument, is a Freemason inscription.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. The entire dollar bill is based on that. For example, the pyramid in the back is representative of destruction of the Catholic Church. The C and I at the very top of it is not the eye of God, but the eye of Satan. You see, the insignia of the Order of the Illuminati is on the back of the dollar bill. It says it's acceptable. Anuit Sieftas. The all-seeing eye is the eye of Satan, Lucifer. And that's what they're told later. The pyramid is the structure of the Illuminati with Satan at the very top. And the Roman numerals at the bottom is 1776, but not July 4th. It's representative of the different 1776, May the 1st, completion of the plan. Novus Ordo Seclusum is New World Order or Order of the Ages. That's what that means. And the significance of the design is the pyramid actually represents the conspiracy for destruction of the Catholic Church, which is what they're doing now. They're getting ready for it. So they bring all the religions in. All religions come in. And then when they get everybody in, then they crash it. That's how they do it. That's what they're going to do. It's called a re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church.
And you heard the Pope this last year talking about bringing all the world's religions together, you know, under one religion. Did you hear him talking about that? It was quite shocking.
I've got I got the articles. I talked about that this morning, this afternoon, on my own show.
Yeah.
And that was what Palmer before he allegedly was killed on a motorcycle. What Palmer was doing was breaking the barrier between the Episcopal and Greek and the Roman Catholic Church to bring everybody back in to form up one religion as the overall goal. That would be the destruction of the Catholic Church. I'm not done.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not. I got many more. You've got the Phoenix.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's, yeah. You got the Phoenix on the back. It's not the eagle. You've got the 13. Actually, yeah.
It's 13 arrows.
Yeah,
right?
13 arrows.
It's 13 arrows.
Exactly. It's the 13 Illuminati families. It's the 13 Illuminati families. That's what that means. And the insignia is acquired by the Masonic significance, is a merger of that order of the Illuminati at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad. Very important. In 1782. The Masons merged with the Illuminati in that period of time. And a lot of the Masons, I can't say a lot, but the Compte d'Avaru and several others were horrified at what was said in that meeting. Now, I've got quotes from the Compte d'Avaru that he was horrified at what they'd planned and talked about at Congress of Wilhelmsbad. You had Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, who was Roosevelt kinsman, by the way, and Thomas Jefferson. And they were Illuminists. And defender of Adam Weishaupt. Jefferson defended Adam Weishaupt. And he proposed that seal we're talking about, in the reverse of the seal, on the face of the eagle symbol, which is really a phoenix, to Congress. And they adopted it around June of 1782. And the reverse has never been cut and used as a seal, but the only part of the adverse bearing of the eagle or the phoenix is used the official seal and coat of arms. And it was reversed of the dollar bill at the beginning of the New Deal in 1933. That's when he put us in bankruptcy and made our money worthless at that time. And always has been now. So in essence, that symbol, it pretty much proclaims to Americans that the entire power of the government supports a conspiracy to undermine, destroy it, and the Constitution, which we have. It's a government of traitors, and always has been. That's unfortunate. And I've not been really outward tonight because I don't want to kill people's joy. But we are in a bad situation, and they have control of it. And I gave you some hint. And getting rid of the Masons and Jesuits and Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars is virtually impossible. There, I said it. Because they have an agenda. Go ahead.
Now you made me come up with another question.
Okay.
Our Pope right now is a Jesuit, right?
Yeah, all three of them are.
Okay.
That's not good. Go ahead.
All right. I bet.
That's bad. That's real bad.
I bet a lot of people didn't know that. And if you try to research the Jesuits, I hate to say it, but I'd almost compare it to ISIS. It's that bad.
Well, yeah, you're right. ISIS and Al-Qaeda doesn't exist. ISIS and Al-Qaeda is CIA, ISI, Mossad, and all the secret intelligence agencies. They use ISIS and Al-Qaeda as a fictitious alternate enemy. I've got testimony, I can play any time you want, from Hillary that says we funded Al-Qaeda. I got testimony from Brzezinski, where we coordinated with them. I have documents confirming that we moved Al-Qaeda or Mujahideen from Afghanistan into Bosnia in the 1980s. We've controlled them all along, and they are the CIA. You need that fictitious alternate enemy, to create chaos as plausible deniability, you see?
I heard Hillary say that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I did too. And not only that, now this thing that's going on in Egypt and Mubarak getting set free yesterday, did anybody pay any attention to what the name of the new guy is?
No.
No.
Sisi, ISIS backwards.
Oh.
Oh, brother.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and the other question.
And the Pope is the first Jesuit. He's the first Jesuit.
That's right.
The only Jesuit priest that ever was.
That's correct.
That's what I thought. Okay. And the other question I had, I know there's two Washington monuments in the United States, but wasn't that a spinoff of the Roman Catholic monument and made almost identical? And what do you think it represents compared to what I think it represents?
Well, I'll tell you what it represents. The Washington Monument is an exact duplicate or copy of the one in the Vatican and all over the world. And what the obelisk is not the Washington Monument. They call it Washington Monument, but it's an obelisk. And the obelisk is representative of the missing manhood of Nimrod. Because, you see,
yep.
I mean, that's what it is. And
yep.
It goes back to Nimrod. It was killed by his great uncle, Shem.
Yep.
I mean, that sounds crazy to people who don't know it, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting when that earthquake, I was down there in Virginia when that went through, and it kind of cracked up that Washington Monument a little bit, and I said, oh, is he going to lose parts again?
Golly. Yeah. Oh, boy. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. I've watched a bunch of DVDs on this, on the Jesuits and the Catholics and purgatory and all this other stuff, and the Freemasons. And I'm surprised to learn how many of our presidents actually have been Freemasons. I think it's over half, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's over half. But what's interesting is Lincoln and JFK were not. They weren't Freemasons.
That is interesting.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, that they were not Freemasons.
So let me ask you a question, Tom. You're talking about these monuments.
Yes, sir.
I want to just – this is kind of off the beaten path here. But, you know, the Denver Airport, we've had this, horrible-looking stallion. I just put it on the screen for people. Everybody's known about this for a while. But recently they put in place a statue of the Egyptian god Anubis.
Yeah.
And I just popped it up here for people to see. What's your take on what they're doing at the Denver Airport? They've got those murals that depict, martial law, oppression of the people. What do you think all that's about, really?
What that's
just
about,
wanted,
okay, what
yeah.
they have to do, they have to do this, is they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They have to. So when they tell you, they do it in such a way that you can't really draw a conclusion. So they show
the
you.
The murals too, there are incredible.
Yeah, they really are. I mean,
everything is in them.
I've never seen anything like that, Just like I've never seen anything like this horse. And they won't let anybody near that horse statue, by the way.
Spell
horse. I know there's people that have wanted to do stories on it, wanted to go get close to it, and they won't let them anywhere near it.
That horse killed its creator.
Yeah, I've heard that story too.
They're copying the pale horse. Horse is the apocalypse. You see, these symbols and signs have energy. Has to do with alchemy, energy.
That's right.
I don't have far to go into that, but they open up portals. The Star of David got nothing to do with God or David. The Star
That's
of David,
right.
Star of David is a hexagram using powerful witchcraft. Our stars and stripes. 13 stars, 13
what the Star of David is that you've taken two triangles, the upper and the lower, and when you bring them together, you now have as it is in heaven, so it is on earth.
That's right.
That's the symbolism
that's
of
right.
it.
And the integration.
But they, Satan turned it into his meaning with that star.
Well, now the Jewish sign was menorah in the first place.
That's right.
And Solomon came up with witchcraft as he is taught by the fallen angels.
That's right.
Of the hexagram, crest of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, go ahead.
We're talking about the symbolisms.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find this video I just got sent yesterday. I might have thrown it out. But did you see the black horse that they saw flying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Farm in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
They're trying to say now that is the black horse anyway is the symbolism of death. But they're saying that this is the symbolism of the crash of the economy, which brings the death.
Well, it's actually
it has some kind of big meaning in Islam, too. And I'd have to pull the article back up. But the black horse means something specifically to them also.
To them, yeah. But in the Bible, it's famine.
There you go. And so they're talking to us about the economy crashing, and they're adding in now what they want to say about things. And you really have to know the Word of God. You have got to know the Word of God to know when you're being tricked or not. And this teaching came from a pastor, a Christian pastor, saying this.
Apparently in the Olympics as well, there was a lot of Illuminati symbols. And during when they have their break and they have, people put on, I don't want to call it skits or a show or something like that. Somebody who is like in the Illuminati, a daughter, was telling the story. She was interviewed without her name and saying, if you go back and you look at the Olympics, I think it was London maybe or something. Don't quote me. I don't remember where. But it's just incredible. And she says, and the people don't even realize that they're being exposed to this and they're being, in other words, indoctrinated into accepting these types of symbols. And also, like when you have the big Hollywood shows, like when they give the Emmy Awards or something like that. I remember one where this girl did this like birthing of the new Earth. It was disgusting. And and they do all those symbols with their hands, you know, those different, I don't know if it's where they hold their fingers in a certain way. And if you start looking at the different things that go on in Hollywood, it just seems that a lot of these actors and actresses have been taken over by the Illuminati, you know. And there's one singer that even talks about her alter ego comes out. She says, I've heard her interview, and she says that when she's, that, you know, when I get on stage and she says that so-and-so comes into her and then she's able to perform because she by herself is really a shy person. I mean, it really starts to make you wonder what the heck's going on out there.
And aren't the roads in Washington, D.C. designed in some kind of a way where it is a Masonic emblem of some sort? Tom?
Go on. I'm back on. My batteries went out. it is. Oh, absolutely it is. So you don't belong to us in the first place. DC's,
it's all designed in a very evil, demonic story.
That's correct.
Everything is in there.
My batteries went out and I couldn't respond. The actress or the singer was Beyonce. And Sasha Fierce was the one that came into her.
That's right. Right.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't think of her name, but you're right.
Yeah. That was who?
It's not just her. There's several of them that say that.
Well, the other one was Madonna, and oh man, they're all in there now.
Katy Perry, the whole lot of them.
Yeah, they're all. Anybody who is doing any of these shows this year, as far as all these award ceremonies and stuff that are going on, you'll notice that every bit of it is set up for ritual.
Yeah.
Colors coded, everything is coded, everything is ritual. I can literally look at the TV, and by the color coding on these shows, I can tell you what's coming.
Fritz Springmeier talks about that.
That's right.
Now, keep in mind, Fritz Springmeier is working for the Vatican. He's anti-King James. I won't go any further than that, but just let you know. He does work for the Vatican.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Oh, he does. Him and Skiba both. But that's another story. I'll leave that alone.
Is that on your website?
No. I got an actual quote from Springmeier when he blocked me. He's anti-King James. He called me a King James onlyist. I'm blocking you. And he blocked me.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Skiba did, too. I got copy-pasted quotes from both of them. I kept it in my file. You see, so
all right, and I'm going to throw this out there because this is part of what I was talking about a little bit earlier. Okay, we need to unite America, all the good people behind getting this country on the right path. And a lot of these things, the histories, and you know who's in the right group, who's in the wrong group. Oh, now you've got a King James Bible emblem, so now you're a bad guy, and all this stuff. At some point, we've got to rise above this stuff, right? And we have got to unite as a country, and good people step forth and help lead us in a proper direction. And a lot of these things, you know, like the histories and the stuff that's way outside of people's normalcy bias, we've got to figure out a way to get through these things and beyond them so we're not splintering and dividing America further, because this is what happens.
But,
you know?
Yeah, but Jesus is going to divide us anyway, because the religion, not the religion, but his word is going to divide even families. It's in the scripture. This is what's coming down to. He's going to divide this earth. Jesus will.
That, right, and it's okay for Jesus to do it. I'm saying we're creating a lot of stuff amongst ourselves is what I'm saying. That,
right.
You know, it takes us backwards, you know.
Yeah, but you got to tell the truth, and the Bibles are very important, because there's only two Bibles ever been written, and the King James stands alone, and the other Bibles are missing verses, and they're
corrected. I've seen that.
I mean, it gets deeper. I don't know how far you want to go into it, but it's serious.
I have a very good friend named Dr. William Welty, who his life work has been a translation all the way back to, and they used the Dead Sea Scrolls instead of the Masoretic text when they could, and it's called the International Standard Version of the Bible. I think you can go to isv.org, but it is an exceptional work, and
what is
it's finally starting to get some attention.
Which one?
It's the International Standard Version.
There's only one Bible can ever be written. Once the King James was finished, 1611, no more Bibles are allowed, because they change the words, they change the meaning. Revelation 22:18-19. You can't do it.
Okay.
I mean, it's not me. It's God.
And the
Catholic. Pardon?
And the Catholic Bible is written a little bit different than the King James Version, because they even changed the Ten Commandments in the Catholic Bible.
Sure did. And Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, set up the standard for the new Bibles today in 1875.
All right, well, let me throw it out a different way at you, Tom.
Okay.
All right, none of us speak original Aramaic or Greek or Hebrew,
right,
which are the native languages of these original documents.
Uh-huh.
So when you have somebody like, say, Dr. Welty to go back and translate these into modern English, so they're easier to understand, because these scrolls were written in the common language of the day.
Uh-huh.
All right. We don't speak King James English anymore. All right, it is a language gone. So when somebody goes back to those original documents and brings them forward, in the common language of our day, that would just bring clarity, because I don't speak Aramaic, I don't speak Greek, I don't speak Hebrew. I wish I did, because then I could read these documents without having any coloration from somebody else,
uh-huh,
you know. But that's... That would be my take on it.
It's impossible, because the word's changing changes the meaning of the words. See,
so
God,
you're saying the translation authorized by King James is the only...
That's the only authority on the face of this planet.
So you don't think that the original documents themselves are the authority?
That is coming from the original documents. You don't have any original documents anymore. They were...
Oh, you do too. No. You have the Masora and you have the Tanaka.
No, no. The only ones were the ones collected by King James. And 5,000 documents. But they're all copies. You see, only the Masoretic text was used by the King James translators in the New Testament. After that became the New Testament. So that was set. And all the 47 translators were fluent in Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and English. And they were righteous men. Today, you don't have that because all colleges and all universities are funded or used by Marxists and socialists. I got quotes confirming that. You have a conspiracy to corrupt religion, and they've done it by the Bibles. King James Bible stands alone. It was protected from Antioch to the Alps. King James, done. And that's why you have different versions from then on. And Revelation 22, 18, 19 is clear. Don't add to or take away from.
Yeah, but that document, Revelation, was written, you know, many, many, many hundreds of years before there was a translation authorized by King James.
No. In 1604, they collected all of it. And they translated what John had wrote to Patmos along with all the others. So they translated it into English, which is a universal
language.
Right,
but when he wrote that, you know, in the first century, he was saying, taken away from this text.
No, not at all. Because you have, you have to have both Old and New Testament makes one Bible.
Yes, I understand that, right. Tom. I'm just saying that somebody to go back and to take the original documents and bring them forward in modern English, I wouldn't call that some sort of a heretic work.
No, but you can't trust it because he's not guided by God. God ordained, waited for King James to come around. He's the only benevolent king that's ever been in the history of England. Tyndall.
All right, there's not a scriptural basis for what you're saying.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because God promised to preserve his word. And nowhere else do you have his word preserved but the King James.
All right, well, we can just agree to disagree on that one, and that's okay. You know, so we can, you know, we can move on to something else. But,
okay.
I mean, that's acceptable.
What about those Dead Sea Scrolls that they found here a few years ago or whatever?
1948?
Anything about that?
Yeah. You had some Gnostic books within them. However, the significance of the Dead Sea Scrolls was that the book of Isaiah was exactly the way Isaiah is in the Bible. That was the significance of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
So to you, does that make the Dead Sea Scrolls authoritative?
The book of Isaiah, yes, but not the entire lot of them, no.
Okay, well, what would make one certifiable and everything else found there not certifiable? You know,
as compared to the 66 books, King James Bible. Anything beyond
that?
Man,
you're putting a lot of confidence in a translation done by man many centuries after these books were written.
No. They're guided by God. You went through 14 different levels, 14 different times each chapter and verse.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't take care. It's a wonderful Bible. We all grew up with it, and most of the verses we all know by heart come from the King James Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously it was a terrific, you know, beautifully done. It brought God's word to the world.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Well, see, the task of bringing God's word fell upon the Gentiles, and the Jews failed in Jacob and the 12 tribes. Done. And then later, they crucified Jesus. That's when the 69th week, the 70th week was delayed. Hadn't happened yet. And so you had Yeshua in Hebrew, but God's word in its fullness was brought together in the King James Bible. So it came from the Greek, Iesus, I-E-S-U-S. And the I in Iesus then in English became Jesus. Now, when Jesus Christ comes back, and he will, and the millennium period of time, then everyone will be speaking Hebrew, but not yet, because we're not, that's not the real Jews there. Jesus hasn't taken the throne yet. When he comes back and he takes the throne physically in Jerusalem at the beginning of the millennium, then we go back to Hebrew. But till then, the time of the Gentiles still stands. And that's why it's called Jesus, not Yeshua. Yeshua is the name of Sanan Emmanuel, the fallen angel. This could be the false prophet. Maitreya, Imam Mahdi, that's another story.
I was just going to ask you about that with Yeshua.
Yeah.
Because I hear a lot of people saying, oh no, Jesus isn't the right word, it's Yeshua or whatever.
No, if you're reading a King James Bible in Hebrew, yes. If you're reading a King James Bible in English, it's Jesus. King James Bible in Japanese, it may be something else.
Okay.
You see? But here's the tricky part. The tricky part is the disclosure or the announcement that there's aliens out there, which is what the Pope is going to make, called disclosure. The false prophet is calling himself Yeshua, Sananda, Maitreya. Now, all you got to do is look it up.
Look it up.
And he's going to call himself the Prince of Peace, the Kalki Avatar, Bodhisattva, Imam Mahdi, the Christ, Krishna, and there's one other name he's going to fill the bill with. And he'll fill all of them, and that's the false prophet of the Bible, yet to appear. That's the falling away. Now, I can prove you, if you look at the American Standard, it's missing verses and it's corrupted. I can absolutely show you. No doubt about it. And the corruption of Origen. See, Origen, a Greek philosopher in Egypt, received his copies of the ones from Antioch. He corrupted those copies because he was a philosopher. Origen. In about the 3rd century. That's a fact. And then when he did, he died, I don't know, around the 4th century. Constantine took over in 313 A.D. The Council of Nicaea, 325 A.D. He declared himself to be Bishop of Bishops. I'm the Pontus Pontifex. Whatever. He dispatched Eusebius to go get him 50 Bibles. Well, he goes to a library in Alexandria, Egypt. Eusebius is not a Christian. He's a philosopher also. He likes the work that Origen did, but not the copies from Antioch. So he takes back the ones that Origen did to Constantine in Rome. That become the Roman Catholic Bible. The Douay Rheims all the way down. And that's why the Vatican said, we'll read it for you, because we can speak Latin, you can't. So by 1875, fast forward, to further corrupt it in subtle ways, two Freemasons by the name of Westcott and Hort, and they were also warlocks, by the way, 1875 to 1891, convinced the committee that the older versions were more accurate. But the older versions were the versions that Origen did in the 4th century. Corrupted. And so the secret was to make subtle changes in the Bibles by 1891. Nobody could tell the difference. And that began the corruption of the Bibles we got today. Except they couldn't touch the King James Bible. As we get the American Standard, and I can prove to you without a shadow of a doubt that the American Standard is American substandard. It's missing verses. It's got changed words. And the changed words means changed meaning. You know, that's just the way it is. And it's
okay, I've got a question for you that, I don't know, hopefully this pertains to this kind of the same subject thing we're talking about, the Bible.
Uh-huh.
When Jesus was crucified and risen 3 days later, I cannot find anything in the Bible that says where he went for those 3 days. Where did he go?
He went to the bosom, Abraham's bosom, to preach to the Old Testament saints. Because, see, the Old Testament saints...
Can you expound on that?
Yeah, I can. The Old Testament saints, Adam, Moses, all of them, Jesus Christ had not died and rose again during that period of time. So when you sacrifice the animal up to that period of time when Jeremiah was saying no more, right? He was pretty much laying the place for John the Baptist. John the Baptist laid the groundwork for Jesus. Okay. So up to that point, they were sacrificing animals all the way back to Abel, okay, the Passover, etc. Well, that was sacrifice the animal in anticipation of the coming of Messiah. It didn't save you. So the coming of the Messiah and the death and resurrection, that took the place of sacrificing animals. That's when you became born again. And that was the gospel, the new gospel, the new covenant. Jesus changed all that. All right, now, so before that, the Old Testament saints, they couldn't go to heaven. They weren't saved yet. So when Jesus died, during that three-day period, he went down to Abraham's bosom, preached to the Old Testament saints, and Abraham's bosom, that could be seen, as the scriptures show, from those in hell could see it. They could see Lazarus, another Lazarus. They could see Moses, but they couldn't go. So paradise is what's called paradise was, shall I use the term, vacated and then sent to heaven. Abraham's bosom was sent to heaven. Hell remained. The torment for those in torment. But Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, before Jesus Christ, preached by Jesus Christ, he fulfilled his mission and vacated it. And then he came back. And for like 40 days, I think, he reappeared.
Yeah, and we do agree on this, that there's two major things that happened when Jesus died. It did replace the animal sacrifice, and it also now made it to where the Gentiles, all of the world, could be God's chosen people.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And also, somebody mentioned about King James. He was not a pedophile. He is not a Rothschild. He was a benevolent, from his letters to his son. He was a godly man. And to say otherwise means God didn't have any good judgment.
Yeah, and I'll put this out there. Whatever Bible, you know, just I'm glad, you know, somebody picks up a Bible and they're reading the Bible and seeking God's guidance in their life. I applaud that with anybody, you know, no matter which one you picked up. And, you know, I remember in the New Testament, somebody told the apostles that, you know, somebody was preaching about Jesus' stuff, but it wasn't exactly right. And he told them then, you know, well, you know, they're not against us, they're for us, you know. So, So in that regard, you know, I think it's a good thing for anybody out there, anybody watching the show, anybody that wants to seek the wisdom of God and pursue that. I know it's been an amazing thing in my life that was, you know, a gift really given to me by my parents very young, you know, by taking me to church and teaching me these things. So,
well.
Okay, Tom, the major question I have right now is, in your opinion, what can the people of the United States do to really get back our country on the right track? What's your first and second thing that American people should do right now to let's get it back the way it should be?
Stop participating in these riots. And number two is to curtail the activity of the Freemasons.
Well,
level.
You said it best. Your first answer on this exact same question a few minutes ago was the best one. America needs to turn back to God, right?
Yeah.
They need to, yeah.
That's the first thing you got to do.
Yeah.
And pray. And that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And the knowledge, another thing is to, if you could get folks together to get a radio, blog talk radio, or somebody get groups together, if you organize it, you know, to put this knowledge out. But we've been so brainwashed that people won't believe it. They'll say, well, you're nuts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The message has to be about how do we reclaim our country. It can't be about all this history because people's normalcy bias, you're only going to capture a small sliver. That's so good. We have to frame this message up of what do we do to get America back. And I know there's a way we can frame this up and get people to get on board because people are hurting out there now in unprecedented ways in America. They're receptive right now to this message, you know.
Get rid of the political parties.
No.
Because the political parties work together against America.
Absolutely. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that, Tom, on the show. Absolutely. They're shoveling candidates in front of us. You get a choice between dumb and dumber, and it's certainly not somebody that the people would pick.
Well, know? Romney, Kerry, Gore, yeah. They're all cousins.
You know that today they put out an article saying that Romney joined in with Obama today, and they are now discussing the fact that we need to work together in the Congress. I'm like, oh, get
me. Yeah, and I don't know how many times they're going to announce this over the last 3 months, but, you know, again, this week they made a big deal about announcing once again that Jeb Bush might be running for president.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, I knew they started rattling this saber last summer, and I knew that's what they were going to do. And I'm telling you, they're going to shovel him down our throat just like they did Mitt Romney.
Yep. And Grandma, anyway, last year said she was making sure he ran this year. It would be the best thing for America.
Yeah. Yeah, right. We need some new blood.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
I think we need someone who's broke and poor.
You know, I think that's probably the right way to go.
That's right. But and then if you want to put money in there and get someone in, let's get someone that has
they
knows
got skin
what we're
in the game.
Going through.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's give somebody with skin in the game that's smart, but they happen to be broke right now. Right.
That's right. How can we get rid of the parties?
Hey, I qualify for that. Yeah, I qualify for that. I'll throw my hat in the ring.
It goes to the highest level.
Well, according to Hillary, she's broke and poor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. She's destitute. I think she was down to her last $7 million. Wasn't that the article?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Oh, right. Poor baby.
Right.
Incredible.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so anyway, really, how do you think we could go about it? How could we get rid of these parties? What would we do?
Well, I've said it. We've got to create mass media markets. What do you say, Tom?
That'd be a start, but you got to understand who's in control. They control all
We need truthful news in America. We need broadcasting networks giving out the truth. And if we're not getting the word out in a mass way, we're going to fail.
Getting people educated is the only way besides the praying. After that is educating people. Otherwise, they're divided. They're apathetic because they're in the eighth level of the there's nine stages, and we're at the end of it. We're at the apathetic independent level right now.
And they just don't know. I mean, we have to wake up our fellow Americans in a loving way. We can't go at them like you idiots. You know, I mean, we've got to bring their level of knowledge up so they understand what's happening
Mormon
to our country.
Prayer groups.
Well, you know, and then you have things like just happened today with this Chief Mark Kessler. Tom, did you get a load of that today?
What happened?
Mark Kessler, he finally was exposed on Fox News today, right there saying that he was never a part of the Truther movement, never a part of the militia. He didn't believe any of the things he was saying. He was hired by, and he wouldn't say what organization, but, you know, NSA comes to mind, and that he was doing this job for them, entrapping the militia, entrapping the Truthers, entrapping the what do we call ourselves?
Supposedly patriots.
Patriot
movement. Yeah. That's what he was set to do. And he himself confessed that today. So now what do you get with this? You get more distrust. Now they're all going to be divided on YouTube thinking everybody's bad.
Well, sure.
And how are you ever going to put her back together? I don't know.
What they're going to do is... You know that the Illuminati actually has a website, Okay.
I saw that.
Hey, right.
I saw that.
All right. Here's the reason why they have that. And even a question on Jeopardy was about the Illuminati. What they're going to do is there's going to be a defeat of the Illuminati. All they're going to do is change the name. It's called the dialectic.
That's what they do all the time.
That's right. And that's what's coming. And it's for Yeshua, your false prophet. There's going to be some kind of a major crisis, with financial, a war, something. I don't know what, but something. And we'll want peace. We're really, really close to the first seal. Just the first seal. We're close. But they need a major world event that's going to get people's attention, wake up these sleepy people in America. Something, whether it's a crash or something.
Yeah, that's really the only thing that will wake up these sleepy heads is money.
There you
go. That's the only thing they know here.
Well, you've already drugged the whole middle class of America down the tubes. I mean, everybody's broke. So,
yeah, and drugged.
They're there now. They're broke. They're drugged. They're, they're spiritually bankrupt, morally bankrupt. I mean, our society couldn't be in a worse spot than it is today.
So then you got to change your thinking, and how are you going to do that? That's the problem. So you just identified one of the major obstacles.
Well, and that's why I've been saying for 6 months, everybody knows has been on, listening to this show, that you know I have a burning desire to start a 24-hour truthful news network. I'd like to see people like Joseph Farah with WND do the same thing. I think we need 3, 4, 5 good media outlets that are not only – putting truthful news out there, but they're also re-educating America about who we are supposed to be as a people. And that's the only way we're going to overcome it, because what we have right now is all controlled media. Right.
But herein lies the next problem. Who's to say what the American people are supposed to be?
Well, I'm just saying that if if Christian America wants to try and reclaim America, then they're going to have to band together and stand up together, and they're going to have to, with one voice, say, you know, hell no, we're not going to take this anymore. You know,
true America should be constitutionalist.
I don't think that you want to even put the word Christian in there. You want to put American, American.
And truly, that's what I've been talking about all summer. It's not about Christianity. And this show hasn't been about Christianity. But I'm just saying America was founded on these Judeo-Christian principles.
Yes, it was.
So, you know, what I'm saying is we have to put that forward. I mean, we either believe in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, our founding documents, and this limited government, you know, that was set up. We either believe in these things and in these inalienable rights, or we don't. Mm-hmm. And if we do believe in it, it is a worthy goal for all of us to preserve this for the generations that come after.
But you know that the Constitution was meant to be what you said, was also was meant to be subverted from the very beginning. That's the problem.
Well, I understand right. that, but I can put all that aside, all the stuff we talked about tonight, and I can look at those documents at the purity of what they are, and that is a dream worth attaining, okay? Because that approach to governance is truly, to me, is the right one, you know, protecting the inalienable rights that are given to us by our Creator, okay? And I mean, it's certainly better than a monarchy. It's better than an oligarchy. It's certainly better. We've never had any example in the world, in the history of the world, where socialism or communism has worked. You know, those are absolute utter failures. So it's the only hope for self-governance, truly, would be a government of the people, you know, for the people, by the people, right? I just don't see anything else that would produce freedom. So that would be the dream. I mean, regardless of who penned those, or you know who, you know, this was all some contrived thing or whatever it might be, I still look at the purity of those documents, and that is the America that I would like to see left for those that come after us.
I also think that we need to bring love back into the picture. Love your neighbor. Love, you know, and like you guys were you know, you had a show on about preparing and teaching people to be more self-sufficient, and not only on an individual level, but you know, as groups, almost like the Amish a little bit, you know, patterned on that, so to speak, where you have your people that teach each other carpentry, teach each other things, you know, become more unified and spread, you know, the idea that we need to love those people and you know, try to accept people for who they are and just become more self-sufficient versus being dependent on all this commercial stuff that goes on around us. You know, right. Kind of go back to the olden days a little bit, I would say. I think
you won't have no choice when we go into a crash, Breeze. We're going back to the olden days.
Well, it's like I said the other day. This happened in America naturally because when these colonies, you know, when these people came here, they had to depend on each other, right? And this spirit just kind of developed as America, you know, went across the West all the way over to California, and these, you know, little colonies along the way, little towns and cities and settlements, they had to depend on each other. So you had in America for a very long time a pervasive sense of community, right, and helping one another. And this has been broken down, and part of it's what Tom was talking about, that whole Communist Manifesto, you know, the steps. You know, we read them on the air this last summer that were entered into congressional record. You know, most of these things were accomplished over the last 50 years.
I think, too, when the government began, you know, when we first began together with the pioneers and everybody working together and everybody helping each other, we didn't have any classes dividing us. There wasn't the upper class, the middle class, the lower class.
Right.
There was no class. Well, in more ways than one, there was no class. And so there was no division. If your neighbor needed a house built, you went over and you built his house in a day. They needed a barn raised, you went over and did it.
Ricky brings this up all the time. Get to know your neighbor.
That's
and
right.
If your neighbor raises hogs and I raise pigs and your other neighbor builds houses, get to know each other. You can trade a cow for a pig and a pig for... Yeah, and you all get to know each other. So when the SHIT hits the fan, you know, you all know each other and you can help each other out.
Yeah.
Well, look what Russia did today. They went over to Iran and they started up a barter system over there. So now they'll give them all their nuke stuff and whatever they want. And Iran, in return, will give them, buy their oil or whatever it is they made a deal on with the oil.
Yeah.
So, you know, the barter system's going to start naturally. Just as soon as we get a couple more hikes in the groceries, that's going to start naturally.
But the barter system is... Go ahead.
Obviously, you don't want to go to New York and try to sell smokes on the side because you're going to get chokehold. So, I mean, don't try that, folks.
Yeah, really.
All right, what were you saying, Tom?
Well, the gold won't be used. The silver won't be used. They're going to go to the digital tattoo. They'll declare martial law, and they'll control the food, the water, everything. They know what they're doing. And this is what's going to happen. Now, you know, the only way, since our rights are given to us by God, not the Constitution, the rights are given to us by God, is to go to God first. There's no other way. The Freemasons...
Right, I was just thinking
Yeah. You see, the Freemasons are messing over the Freemasons, even. They don't realize they are going to be killed. They're going to kill them. It's designed. It's planned. It's going to happen. It's a promise. And even the Bible says so, that the evil shall slay the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to let it happen. They took a blood oath against God.
That's right.
They got to renounce the blood oaths, or they're going to hell.
Well, I think we need to bring God back into our country.
Yes.
There's been a real effort to push God out and to bring the concept of respect in.
Yes.
Our children don't understand respect. When I was growing up, I never touched somebody else's things. You know, it was out of respect. I would ask first, would you mind if such and such? You know, we see it in the rioting today. They don't have a problem breaking windows, burning things down, you know, pushing. I mean, they've just lost the concept of respect for mankind, for respect for their neighbors. And I think we've just, our value system has just been flushed down the toilet, you know. And I think that would be a good place to concentrate, you know, really fight to bring God back into
Absolutely.
You know, our country, and be proud of that.
But you see what happens on this show when you try to do that and you try to talk about God, everybody runs another direction and everybody calls Jeff and says,
I don't get that when we talk about God on the show. But anyway, I'm on a hard break here. We need to take a 30-second break. This is Jeffrey Sisk. You're watching American Liberty Live, and we'll be right back. I've got literally 18 seconds to restream the show and put part one in the screen.
Oh, God.
All right.
Oh, boy.
You cut that down to the wire.
Let's see here. 12.
Tom, you're a wealth of information. You're just amazing.
12.
I don't know. I just did a lot of study like everybody else. I don't know. But are we still on or what?
Yeah. No. You're off. You can talk.
They can't hear us. You can talk.
I made it.
You can even swear if you
seconds.
Want.
All right. Now, there's a song running for the public right now, Tom. I had to restream. Ustream has a 3-hour limit on the recording, so I had to put part one of the show in the can there. All right, I'm going to take us back live here, guys.
Okay.
All right, this is Jeffrey Sisk, and you're watching American Liberty Live, and we're on with Tom Gamble, and we've got Breeze on here, and Kathy Rubio, and Minnesota Mad. If you would like to join this discussion with us tonight, certainly we welcome you to do so. Connect with us on Skype at American Liberty Live, or you can actually call in just on a regular phone at 352-436-0010. That's 352-436-0010. So when we left for the break there, we had Breeze talking. So go ahead, Breeze. You can finish your thought now.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, yes, we've talked a lot about tonight about, the Illuminati and in Hollywood, and we've made ourselves aware of all of how things have happened, and we've been kind of taken over by all these outside influences. But I really believe strongly that God is the answer. And when you were talking before, Kathy, about, you know, people getting together, and even you, Min, and Tom and Jeff there, you know, if somebody needed a barn built, you went over and built it. Well, why did you do that? You did that because you cared. You cared because you had love. You had love in your heart. Why did you have love in your heart? Because you believe in God. What did you do when
And also, it's because our young men and women were taught this from their parents.
They were taught
to care about community. They were taught to care about the Word of God. They were taught to care about doing good things in the world. All right, so a lot of this comes from us to be good leaders and good stewards of our children.
Let me tell you about it.
And we still have that. We do, because even today, I can't count the amount of phone calls and emails I got saying, we're praying for you, Kathy, we're praying. These people don't even have to acknowledge that they know anything, but they are taking the time to pray. So there are people still that have these values.
That's right. And the thing you said, Kathy, about, you know, like the flack, I've never caught flack on this show for talking about Christianity. I haven't preached on the air, but anybody that watches this show knows I'm obviously very much so a Christian. But I've never caught flack over just, you know, the things that we've done. We prayed on the air for things. I've never had anybody send me an email praying on the air for somebody. It's been quite surprising, to be honest with you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good to hear, because I heard otherwise.
Yeah,
let me.
Go ahead.
It's never made its way all the way to me. That's for sure. Nobody's ever sent me an email or a text or something, or said I'm really offended you prayed on the air for somebody.
Let me give you a hint of what you're up against. You can't trust anyone, any of the professors or educators out of Harvard, Yale, none of them, because they're members of the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to read you this, and this is an actual quote that was by Dr. Chester Pierce of Harvard University in 1973 in Denver, Colorado, at a teacher's conference. He said, and I quote, and he's addressing 2,000 teachers, and this sets the stage that goes back to the 1960s. He said, and I quote, to 2,000 teachers, he says this, quote, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because it comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future, unquote.
That's disgusting. That's
and thus said. We have Common Core.
That's right.
That is absolutely disgusting. And Charlie, that is the biggest reason to get rid of the Department of Education that you could ever find.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
Charlotte Isabert talks all about that.
Well, I'll give you two more. Paul Brandwine said, I quote, any child who believes in God is mentally ill. Ashley Montagu, 1970s. Spoke to 1,000 home economic teachers in Anaheim, California. She said, quote, the American family structure produces mentally ill children. Now, what you got coming down is in Colorado. What you got come down in Oregon, what they're sneaking up on you with is a Child Euthanasia Act. They've already done it in Belgium. They've got a precedent set in England where a woman was awarded the authority because her child was right to die with dignity to kill her child. It took 14 days to kill the child. So in Oregon, they're sneaking up on you with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to do, it'll go beyond a child with disability. And what they're going to do is once they get that passed in Oregon and Texas, just like the same-sex marriage, it'll spring out other states. And then what they're going to do is try again international rights of the children that they failed to get passed or signed in 1989. Hillary failed because people did something. They failed to get it signed. But once international rights of the child is signed, they own your children.
Yep.
So in other words, your 15-year-old disabled child or a child on psychotropic drugs can elect to kill themselves, and you can't stop it, or you're going to jail. Now, people don't know this, but I know it for a fact. And I mean, you know, you can stop that. You could do something about it. And General Boyk has got something to do with that in Oregon. That rascal. But
Child Protective Services is getting way out of hand as well.
They always were. That's why they killed Nancy Schaefer, Congress lady in Georgia, because she's coming down on them. And they
we have a group of regular listeners up in Wasilla, Alaska, and they have built quite a movement in Alaska against. I think their Child Protective Services is called OCS, something like that. But they have been exposing, you know, all the corruption in that scenario, you know, kids being taken out of homes that nothing happened. It's just allegations. And they're making some ground with that. Debbie up in Wasilla, a little shout out to those guys. They're making some ground with that.
Debbie McCarthy, is that her last name? But
yeah.
McCarthy.
Yeah. She's making a lot of ground. Yeah.
I taught her Skype so that she could then communicate with people from around the United States and put this together.
That's right. And we're going to have her on. And she just sent me a care package here the other day that I got. It's a whole bunch of buttons. They're making buttons now, you know, like campaign-looking buttons. And they're all about taking America back and all that. And she's going to do some here for American Liberty Live. But they've made a lot of ground, you know, with that. And I told her she needs to get her friend Sarah Palin involved, you know, because she knows her. And you know, but they did it by just getting out there and starting making people aware. You know, it's like Rick White talks about that gets on here all the time. Tom, we have another show host that comes on sometimes, and he is a really big proponent of you need to be out there in your local politics and get involved. You know, and you can start affecting change from the ground up.
But again, the barriers are going to be the Freemasons. They control the small towns. And the Chinese control 290 foreign trade zones or in cahoots with the Freemasons throughout the United States. You got to get through the Freemasons and get them to shut up. And they don't realize they're working against themselves. It's very significant because they control the city councils, police departments, and the education.
And yeah, but we were having that discussion already tonight. The guys down on the local levels here, they don't know anything about this stuff going on way at the top.
But even if they don't know, when they are being told the truth, they need to listen.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that when I have spoken the truth to you, and you now know the truth, that blood is off of my shoulders. It's now on yours to do what's right. And those people that are members need to research, need to look into the upper echelons and find out the truth.
That's exactly right.
That's a sure thing, mm-hmm. because God is not going to hold them any less responsible than he did before they knew. He's going to hold them more responsible because they've been told time and time again.
Well, there's one thing for sure. Every man and every woman, for that matter, needs to gauge their actions, you know, to be decent and moral and you know, for the good of their families and their society. And, you know, I guess I'd be interested to hear what Tom's saying there of saying they control the cities and towns. What are they doing on the local level? You're saying Masons would be impeding the progress for you to get anything done on a local level. How is that happening?
Bingo. They will subjugate anyone that's aggressive and taking control. I know churches that were preaching about sin and all that, and the Freemason came up to the preacher and said, you got to lay off that. See, the government controls the churches through the 501c3. And the Masons monitor and make sure they stay off track. Same thing with education. You get a teacher. I'm going to teach the truth. Doggone it. Miss Jones, you know, how you like your job? You like it? Good. Here's what you're going to use. And police department, same thing. City councils. I know I got a 3-page paper on how they ruin a man and take you down. I know how to do it. You see, and they got to understand that they're the ones going to be targeted as well. It's very important. They took an oath, no matter what level, first degree, to keep secrets. And they took it in the name of God. And they control the entire small towns and city councils and the government. And then when they're done with them, they're going to cut them loose. And it's hard to tell them this. Very important. They're the worker bees for the Illuminati since 1782 until 2014.
I came from a small town, and there's a Masonic temple there, and it's amazing, you know, how many Masonic temples are dispersed along the country. But, you know, an idea just crossed my mind. I'm going to throw it out here and see what you guys think about it. You know, since we need to bring God back into our country, how about if we start our show with a prayer to God and ask him to protect our country, pray for our country, pray for giving us guidance so that we seek, you know, do God's will. You know, when you mentioned before, Kathy, about the Slack and you didn't hear anything, Jeff, I did hear a lot of it behind the scenes, you know, because they do talk to a lot of different people. Some people are not quote-unquote Christians. Some people might be of other faiths here, okay? But they do all believe in God, the universal power of God. So maybe to not offend anybody and to be more generic across the board, if we prayed and just particularly talked about God and maybe started our day with God, our show with God, and ended our show with God, you know, and thanked him for what we were given that night. You know, I believe it's very important to say thank you. What do you think about something like that?
Well, American Liberty Live is about casting a wide net, and I don't want to take it in a direction of being perceived as being a religious broadcast. And I understand what you're saying, and certainly the very first thing I did when I got on the air 6 months ago was say a prayer asking for God for guidance to have the words and the wisdom and to be putting forth the message that needed to be out there for America to hear. And certainly, you know, when people have been through troubled times or we've had troubled times in the country, we prayed on the air. And I have never hesitated to do it. You know, would I put it into a structured thing that is something that we did all the time or something? You know, I probably wouldn't go down that road because there's people that would switch it off that, you know, that they're not comfortable with that. But I'm certainly never going to hide my Christianity under a bushel. I mean, I've never done that on this show, and it's been quite obvious to anybody that listens that, you know, that I believe in God. But I really think we need to be, you know, casting a net out there to wake America up, to put our Constitution back in place. And I don't care what somebody's religious views are or what color their skin is or whether they're rich or poor or whether they're Occupy or Tea Party or Republicans or Democrats. I just don't care. I want them to care enough about their country to say we're going to lock arms together and we're going to figure out what we're going to do here to take this back. And that's what matters to me. That's what keeps me on the air. That's why I'm still here doing this in the seventh month.
Okay, I'm just going to add to this or throw this out and just have you think about this. If we, it's like practicing what you preach. If we want to bring God back into our country and we want to be proud of that, then we shouldn't, I don't think we should be afraid of or intimidated by or I can't think of another word right now, to start the program.
And I'm not afraid or intimidated or any of those things you just said. It's just a different approach here that I take for American Liberty Live, you know, that to keep the perception from being that we're doing a religious broadcast every night. And certainly we have a lot of people on here like John Peterson, like Tom Marsland, Mike Terry, our guest tonight. You know, a majority of the people that come on here, in some way we talk about, you know, we talk about God and America needing to you know, look back to God to help get it back on the right road. So we do have a lot of that in this show just by the nature of who we are as people, you know, that are involved in this. You know, most people involved in American Liberty Live, you know, believe in God or, you know, have some sort of faith. So I'm not intimidated or afraid. I think it's more about the mission of what I'm wanting to accomplish here, you know.
Yes. Some people don't know how to pray. And if we taught them, that could just – I don't mean to have 10 minutes of it. You know, a quick little 3-minute prayer or a 2-minute prayer or a 1-minute prayer. Dear God, please bless us and everybody watching our show and guide us today and We thank you for being with us.
I've thought about that. I've thought about the Pledge of Allegiance. I've thought about some of the things that got removed from our schools. You know, so, I mean, I'm with you on it. I'm hearing you. So
it's just something to think about.
I'm tucking that away, and I'll think on it. But but definitely these are things that were removed from our schools, you know.
So we could be leaders and bring it back and start, you know, show it on our show. You know, that's what I'm saying.
All my programs, I start over the prayer. All my programs. I started about 5 years ago, and I started with prayers every program. The very beginning of it, always. So everybody knows where I stand at the very beginning. It's the only way.
When Tam Marisi was in jail, I would say at least once or twice a week, we would all bow our heads during the show sometime.
We did.
And say a prayer for him. Tam Marisi, to get him home. Yep.
Yes,
amen.
And why did we do that? We did that because we believe in the power of prayer. So let's do it for our show. That's my vote.
It's in the name of Jesus, not God only. Amen. But Jesus.
Amen, Greece. Amen, Greece, 100%.
Yep, me too. And I believe we can't grow unless we do it.
Well, Jeff will think on it. We planted the seed. Now let's just see what he thinks. And, you know, he's got to take a lot into consideration. I totally appreciate and understand what his ideals are and what his goals are. And but I think maybe it might be something to consider, because we would be setting the stage, we'd be setting the example. And seriously, there are people out there that don't know how to pray, and they would learn. They would know. It's simple. You don't have to go into a half-hour rendition. You know, my own brother didn't know anything about how to pray, and he feels he can't do it. You know, he feels he'd be, like, hypocritical, you know, to do it, because he's not a Christian. You know, that's not true. You can pray. So anyway, I won't talk about that anymore, but I'm glad that you gave me the floor to throw that out there. Thank you.
Well, being a Christian is really not about Christianity. Christianity is a religion. Being a Christian is not a religion. Being a Christian is a following of Jesus.
That's it, and it's really in your life, you know, by example. Yeah. It's who you are, and you know, every day we wake up and we you know, especially people that are out there in the public eye, you know, people are watching you for what you do, you know, and you have a responsibility, especially if you are a follower of Jesus. You do have a responsibility to act with honor and integrity, you know, so people know that means that you're a certain type of person, and that you wake up every day and follow, you know, a set of moral standards to be better, to strive to be better, you know. And when we fail, we get up the next day and we dust ourselves off and we do it again, you know. So, you know, I do think it is about leading by example. I really do.
And there's a lot of people on the site in social stream that aren't feeling good, or they're going through hard times.
Sure.
And they ask others to you know, could you just say a quick prayer for me?
That's,
you know,
right.
And it's not only one or two people that are doing it. There's several people that are doing it. And the power of prayer is unbelievable. It's great. And that's what's going to help get our country back. It's not just us rising up. We need God back into our country, because I think God kind of stepped away and said, look at what you guys did. Uh-huh. All right, now, you know, now you better get it back, because unless you ask me to help you, you know, I'm not going to help you. And I think we better ask him for some help, because we're going to need all the help we can get, whether you believe in prayer or not. You better ask him, because I believe in it, and I'm asking him.
Well, and I tell you what, it's like I said here on the show here, you know, in the last week or two. There have been too many things in my life, especially in the last couple of years, where directly I saw that prayers were answered, things happened that would not have happened, that worked out, that were impossible circumstances that I know had divine intervention. And, you know, for somebody who's gone through their life and has never known that, you know, absolutely, God saying a prayer to God is a very powerful thing. And I've watched some miraculous things happen.
You know, what I used to do on my show is that I would start with prayer, a very short prayer, and then I would end with prayer. Then I would do my reports in between time, and everything we reported on at the end of the show we prayed about.
Right.
Because you can't change anything if you don't pray about all these things that are going on, and it's getting more and more evil every single day.
I think it would increase our following.
It would.
I know it. Yep.
I think God would increase our following.
I know he would.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that for me, I know a lot of thoughtful prayer has gone into, you know, what I need to be doing, you know, on the air. And I have put that out there and have asked for that guidance on a regular basis. And, you know, I've said this many times. I know God will take this wherever he wants it to go. It's never been about me. I had no desire to be doing any type of show whatsoever, nor did I have any prior experience doing shows. So it's extraordinary that I'm even on the air doing something like this. And I know whatever purpose that this has, God will guide it wherever he wants it to go. If he wants it to be a big voice to help America, then he'll make it a big voice. If he has another purpose for it, somewhere along the line it'll manifest, you know. But it has been an interesting journey this year, and it is a hard left in my life that I never expected. But I do have a deep burning desire for us to try and get America on the right road. And I do feel that clock running, and I heard it out of Tom tonight. I know he feels the same thing I'm feeling. You know, the clock is running.
Oh, it is.
It's striking midnight, darn near.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes to midnight.
And there's been a lot of people on this show that's needed prayers, including your daughter when she got in that car accident.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of people on this show that said, okay, Jeff, you know, before I go to bed tonight, your daughter's going to be one of the people that I'm going to pray for.
And
look at what happened.
That's right.
You know, she's still alive. You
that's
know?
Right. And like I said, the last few years of my life, I've seen miraculous things happen as a direct result of intervention in my life because of prayer.
But one thing that won't work is actual rebellion. It will fail. They want us to rebel because that would justify martial law. Armed rebellion will fail. It's always failed. Always.
It would be ugly. And this can be done in the right way, and this is what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
There are ways to do this that don't involve, you know, a big revolt of the population, an armed revolt, right?
They're too apathetic anyway.
And I do think, and I don't know how much research you've done into the common law grand juries and natural law and all that stuff, Tom, but I know there's some listeners on this show that are very involved. One of the guys, Stephen Kino, is now the – what did he say the other night? He's the lead investigator he's like in charge of something there with common law grand juries in Colorado. He's a top-tier spot now. But we've talked a lot about that. That is a good way to – it's now – if you go to nationallibertyalliance.org, if you've never been there, now in all 50 states they've reinstated the common law grand jury. And this is a path for us to get corrupt officials out of our halls of government. And I've said this a few times here recently. You know, when you start seeing some of these guys go to jail, don't think the other ones aren't going to notice.
Yeah, but who's going to put them in jail? You see, the police departments are controlled by Freemasons.
I understand what you're saying, man.
Yeah.
We got to swing the bat. I mean, you know, you know, sometimes it might work, sometimes it might not. But I mean, we got to do something. We just can't sit here and say, well, that's all. Everybody's a Freemason, and we're screwed. I mean, we got to start moving forward in some way. You know, I mean, there's only so many tools here that we have available that we can employ to start righting the ship. So, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a very complex set of problems. But we can't just lay down and say, well, we just can't try anything. I mean, that would be just to admit complete defeat, you know.
All right,
we just had Uncertain come in here. Have you got a question or a comment tonight, Uncertain?
Yeah, at the risk of upsetting maybe one or two people, but your guest comes across as very learned, very intelligent, but on the same token, he has sat there and shot down every suggestion. Boykin, oh, he's a liar. He's no good. Everything that comes up, this man has nothing to offer except for God. And if you're going to fall back on God, you better be prepared to work for it.
That's exactly right. Now, I have to be realistic. Boykin is a Knights of Malta. They're the enemy. Knights of Malta have taken a blood oath against you. And what do you do about that?
Well, from what I've heard from you, everybody's against us. Everybody is.
Well, pretty much.
Masons, Jesuits, Vatican.
That's correct.
But you'll go back. Back and you'll say that King James commissioned the only perfect, for lack of a better term, version of a Bible.
Exactly.
Okay, and you're getting that position from precisely where?
God.
Oh, God told you that?
No,
King
God
James,
told no,
the man
no, no, no. God told
Bible.
Us. God promised to preserve His word. Now, can you tell me where it preserved His word?
I'm sorry.
Can you tell me where He preserved His word? Or did God lie?
It, his word is the Bible. Now, you're picking
okay,
one.
Okay, which Bible? Right. Now, the Bibles can be determined by their origin.
And you're picking one. And
all of them.
The guy that runs this, hold on a second. The guy that runs this show has one that he likes that was translated by a man that has spent a majority of his life studying it. And you're blowing his off and going back on the one you say is, and this is where faith divides us, because you think you're perfect and you're what you're going to do.
No.
Jeff has his beliefs on what he's going to do. And what I've listened to tonight, and I bit my tongue for the longest time, and because I knew this was going to cause a problem when I called in, but every time anybody has brought up anything, you're a defeatist other than God.
Not at
you
all.
Are a
God is the only, God's the only answer. You will not find another solution. It won't happen.
You've shot down everything that anybody brought up. Pretty much. You have.
How can I agree with it when I know it's not going to work?
Well, who in the realm of Earth and man right now is on Earth, do you trust?
Only
to do
God.
Anything right,
no.
Or are you just going to say
no.
We can't do
only
this?
God. Only fold. God. Only God you can trust. No man. Not one.
Okay. Okay, so really we have no way out of this then.
Of course you
As
do.
As humans, we're just like...
No, you got
ow.
God. Your soul.
And that's the point I was trying to make. God expects people to take action. We
but
should
right
be
action.
Praying for guidance and looking for it, but we still have we have to move forward. He expects us to be doing things, not just to sit and wait. You know that joke they used to say about the guy's waiting in the flood, and he's on the roof of his house, and the water's rising. You know, two rowboats come by, and he says, no, I prayed to God he's going to save me, and a helicopter comes by, and he waves it off. And finally, the guy drowns, and he gets to heaven, and God says, well, what did you expect? I sent you a couple of rowboats and a helicopter. You know? I mean, we've got to take some action. Faith without works is dead. So we can't just sit back and say, you know, the forces of dark evil in the world are just going to just run over everything. I mean, you know, I have the faith that in my heart that, you know, would move mountains, you know, or the mustard seed that says, you know, we pray to God for guidance on how to get America back on the right road. And then we start taking action, and that he will bless our actions and help us succeed.
In Texas, they teachers and parents and others stopped that Governor Perry from making mandatory for the HPV shot to be given to 9 to 12-year-old girls in Texas. They stopped that.
Right. Right.
You see, there's things you can do, but eventually there's going to reach that point when God says it's enough and we're in the 7-year tribulation. But until that point, we pray. We take action like you're saying, but the right kind of action. And a Freemason.
Well, that's what I'm saying. To me, if you pray for guidance from God and then go forward and start taking these actions and you're doing it with purity of heart and you've asked God for direction and guidance, do the right things, I feel he will bless our steps, you know,
to do
what we need to do to get America back on the right road. See, to me, I don't think America's best days are over. And I think that we can wake America up. It's going to take some effort to do so. But I think the power of God can turn a lot of things around, including America.
2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only answer.
And I'm agreeing with you both that yes, we have to act. It's incumbent upon us to act.
Right.
But the majority of what I've heard tonight is, well, yeah, we have to act, but you can't trust anybody.
Well, that's about right.
So basically, we're not going to go anywhere. We might as well just sit here and slit our wrists and wait for the end, really, because we can't make
forgot,
any good.
No, you forgot 2 Chronicles 7:14. You forgot what I said.
All right, well, say the verse out there so everybody that doesn't know that verse can hear it, so they'll know what you're trying to say.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If you don't do that, it ain't going to happen.
There you go. And that basically is backing up what I'm saying. But I don't think that we can just, you know, pray and then go sit in our house and wait for it all to change. I think he'll give us the tools and the capacity and the means and the ability and the blessings to carry forth what we need to do as leaders to bring America back.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
You have to ask God for the strength, and he will give you the strength to do what you're capable of doing. That is a fact. Right. You know, as a 5-year cancer survivor, that is a fact. You know, ask God for help, he's going to give you help.
Yes, he will.
And so what will that do? You know, God can change men's hearts, right? People right now today that might be obstructing the process might see the light and say, you know what, we're on the wrong side. So, you know, I think that would be part of that healing of the land. I think we'll be, it's just like God hardened Pharaoh's heart, you know, about the Exodus. You know, so God can directly intervene and change the hearts of men. There's no doubt it's documented well in the Bible. So, you know, I agree with that, you know, we seek that guidance and wisdom and then move forward and start taking action, and God would bless that. And that's what gives me hope that America's days are not done, you know. But it does come down to, you know, seeking the right path, you know.
If the Patriot
but
groups,
I understand what Uncertain's saying. You can't just say and throw up your hands and say, you know, the forces of evil are just too big and we'll never overcome them.
No.
That would be to suggest that God is not all powerful.
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, I'm a believer that we can do this. Or I would not be on the air talking about it, you know. But it is going to take waking America up. And along with that, we've got to seek solutions. We've got to figure this stuff out. And, you know, whatever those things may be, whether it is, you know, an Article 5 convention of states, or whether it's, you know, common law grand jury starting to take down some of these corrupt guys that are in government. You know, you're saying, you know, who's going to do it? Well, you know, when you've got citizen grand juries that are putting these cases forward, it kind of changes the game a little bit. They can only obstruct that so far. And it's like you said, just like getting rid of the vaccines in Texas. You can take action and start getting some traction.
But that goes back into when it was brought up that we need to go back to the Constitution, the original wording of the Constitution. It's a noble goal to go back to that.
Right.
And your guest even went, and, well, the whole thing was designed to fail. It was written to fail. That is putting up a rope. We can't move forward because what we want to go back to, it kind of sucks. So I'm hearing a whole lot of negativity that we just can't do it because this is designed to fail. Can't trust anything. I have to put my faith in somebody along with God and my trust in somebody along with God to move this forward. Because if I just sit back and think, well, you know, these guys are all a-holes. I can't trust anybody. I might as well just sit in my house and just wait for the end to come.
That's what I said. Take out the Freemasons. Get them out of there. Because they're holding it back. They have this idea of New Atlantis.
From the very first night.
New Atlantis is not going to
happen. From the very first night that you came on the air, Jeff, the very first night you said, okay, you know, I never, ever, ever wanted to do anything like this in my life. But God told me that I should really start this show. And he's blessed you for the last 6 months and 3 days now, or 2 days, whatever it's been. And, you can't leave God out of this because it works.
That's it. I mean, every major change in my life has been with divine intervention. I can look back at the path of my life, and these hard turns one direction or the other, they have not been things that I would have even conceived of, right? So you clearly see divine intervention in your life when it happens. And it's easy. It's especially easy to see it in retrospect, you know.
And maybe I changed it on purpose. Maybe your guest can't see my avatar, but I'm a Freemason. I've only been in there 3 years. I have never met a Freemason yet that I have not thought was a – both brilliant and a self-sacrificing individual. Not one yet.
At the 33rd degree level, they worship.
We've talked about this. Yeah. You know, we've had this conversation, Uncertain. I mean, and that's what I brought forward with Tom tonight, that the guys, you know, on the local level, if there is some big thing going on here, it's certainly not known to the guys on the local level.
Right.
I mean, it just, you know. But along with that, you said tonight towards the end, though, Tom, that the guys on the local level are obstructing you from getting any change done.
Because they have the blood
oath. That's kind of in conflict. And I don't. And you want to try and resolve that for
sure,
me, what you're
absolutely.
Meaning with it?
They're under control by the blood oaths they take, first 3 degrees, to do what the high level tells them to do. The 33rd degree, Grand Inspector General, they know they worship Lucifer. But the first 3 degrees, they don't know that. You see? And that's how it works. And so the lower degrees will do what they're told to do by the high-level degree Masons. And you have good people in the Freemasons that want to do good and all that, but when they get past the 3rd degree, 4th degree on, they start changing what they'd learned. We told you this in the 3rd degree, but here's what it really means. Now that you're a 5th degree or 6th degree or 13th degree, it don't mean that. Here's what it really means. And they keep doing that every degree going up. And they get further and further away. And it's how they control the governments, the police, the education. You know, that's how it works. And it's unfortunate. They got to renounce the blood oath and get out of there. And renounce the blood oath.
I'll tell you what. You know, I know all but two in my local government. I know them personally. I know... pretty much everybody in my lodge, I knew who they are, and not one of them in the city council, police department. I take that back. There's one, and he's just a low level functionary. None of them are Masons. Not one. So how are they controlling it if they're not in there at the top levels somewhere?
Well, I can't tell for your state, for your town or whatever, but they control the cities. I know they control Mount Airy. I know they control most of them. I can't answer for your council or whatever. That's that one town out of all of them. But I know they control the nation. Nation. I know that for a fact. I know they lie to the lower level Masons. Albert Pike tells them to in the Morals and Dogma that they lie to the lower levels on purpose.
Sure. And, okay, now you're reading a book written by a Mason.
That's correct. The one that planned three world wars.
No, wait a minute. Let me finish this line of thought you got going.
Sure.
Masons lie. Masons are evil. Masons do this. Masons do that.
At
the
highest level.
You'll take a book written by Pike, and that you will put all your belief in.
Because it comes from God.
Explain
for
the dichotomy that's going on there.
It comes from God. It comes from God.
What?
The King James Bible comes from God.
I'm not talking about the Bible.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about Morals and Dogma.
Oh, Morals and Dogma. Morals and Dogma was written by Albert Pike. And he's a director.
Yeah.
He planned three world wars. I'm telling you.
Here's what I don't get is that you're saying, can't trust a Mason. They're all a-holes or whatever.
This is written for the Mason.
Hey, this Mason, you got to trust him because what he says is
no,
right.
He's writing because for them. No.
What you believe.
No, he's writing for the Masons to the Masons at the highest level.
And
a quote.
Morals
and Dogma, 1871.
Is Morals and Dogma a book?
Written by Albert Pike, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's a head man, that's right.
Yeah, and I've got a copy of it over on top of my
speaker. Well, good,
then
you'll read in the book, I quote, the blue degrees.
I quote it. But what I'm driving at in here, and you can believe what you want to believe.
No, it's what I read, what I know.
What I'm trying to flesh out here is, you're saying, can't believe Masons, but hey, believe this Mason right here, and there's a book in circulation that you can buy on Amazon.
That's correct.
Written by him.
That's correct, because nobody else is going to read it and even believe it.
Uh-huh. That's why a whole bunch of people say, hey, you got to read this book. I mean, this is what doesn't make sense to me.
If this was written just strictly to Masons, then how did it get in print out for the public?
Because they put it out in the public. They put it out there. People just don't read it. It's out there in the public view.
if nobody reads it, why am I constantly hearing, you know, even though I've got a copy,
the Masons,
why am I constantly hearing from people, you need to read this?
The lower level Masons don't.
You're taking the word.
No.
You're distrusting every Mason because they're destroying everything, and you're taking a word of a Mason that wrote something, and it's out for public distribution. You believe that because that fits what you want.
Because it's written to Freemasons. They have to publish it.
Uncertain, I have a question.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a copy of the high-up Mason book?
Which, what's a high-up?
They have a separate book of the different laws, the for each degree. So there's a book that's put together. I got my hands on it once at a rummage sale, and then the guy chased me down the yard after I bought it and took it back. And they're very hard to come by, but it is a – I can't even remember the name of the book, but it is a book written to the upper echelons, the 32nd, the 33rd degree. And these books is what the upper echelons of the Masons go by, and all of their instructions are in there. Now, if your dad is a member, I don't know how high up he is, but he might be able to get his hands on that book for you.
There's lots of books.
There's only one. They're going to know exactly what book you're talking about when you go ask them. Do you know the name of it, Tom?
No, it's a code book, but I don't know what the name of it is.
Mm. Yeah. I don't remember either. I wish I could have kept that thing in my hands when I had it.
I've got one sitting right here in front of me, and if I handed it to you, you wouldn't even be able to read it.
You took the degrees. You took the blood oath, right?
I took an oath.
You took three of them. Your third degree?
Master Mason, yes.
You took 3 degrees of blood oath. All right? And the fourth degree, every degree you take a blood oath not to reveal the secrets. And you took an oath to God not to reveal the secrets.
But the Bible says we can't take any blood oaths.
None.
And what is in the center of every Masonic temple? On the altar, in the center.
It doesn't matter. That's the show. That's the show.
It is. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, that's cool. If that's what you think, that's cool. I'm not going
to argue. It's a fact. It's a fact. Lucifer, the light bearer, strange, mysterious name to give the Prince of Darkness, Lucifer, the son of the morning, it is he who bears the light with his splendors intolerable, blinds feeble, sensual, and selfish souls. Doubt it not. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, page 321.
Mm-hmm. Listening to a Mason that you don't believe any other Masons, but you believe that Mason.
Yeah, okay, because he's the head honcho of your Masonry.
That's cool. You a book out in publication, out in the open.
That's right. Yeah, they get it.
That.
They have to publish it.
No, that's fine. That was the answer I was looking for. You believe that Mason that has a book that's published out in the public domain that anybody can get their hands on, but nobody's going to read it, but it's out there. So that just kind of makes no sense to me. But I just wanted to know where you were coming from.
It makes plenty of sense.
And I'll interject here. This takes me back to something that I said earlier on tonight, which is there are a lot of wonderful people that are Masons. That, you know, if there is something going on here at the very top of the echelon, certainly these guys down here don't know about it.
Nope.
And so you're going to offend every single one of them every time you're talking about, you know, Masons are destroying the earth.
Well, they got to know it.
I'll correct you on that, Jim. I'm not offended. on some level, I find it hilarious. And on another level, I find it stupid. But offending doesn't really – pissed off, yeah, because the man doesn't know what he's talking about. But, hey,
but I do. Oh, I really do. I give you word for word all three of your oaths. First, second, third degree, and give it word for word.
Find it on the internet. I found it on the internet.
No. Not on the internet. I got the books. Not on the internet. You can find them on the internet, but I got way beyond that.
Well, you can find it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, imagine that.
And if it's so secret.
It's secret.
Man, I got to. Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. It's secret society. I better tell my lodge and maybe even the Grand Lodge that they should pull the light off the outside of the building, lights up when the lodge is open, because that's bad.
And we give it to you now, and you agree or disagree with it? How about that?
No, I won't
tell you if you're right or wrong on
why?
That, then I'm not
why
going
not?
To.
Why? Why
I
not?
Don't do that.
Why?
Because I don't do that in this format. Because
you're taking a blood oath not to.
No.
Yeah.
I did not. I have talked to people, and this is just something I don't do. I will defend it to a degree, but if you want to walk down that, snowy little lane, you go right ahead and do it.
Well, I can do it. I do it all on my program. I always do it. So they'll hear it, and they'll say, they renounce this blood oath. I do it every one of my programs just about. They got to know what they're involved in because I care about them. They got to get out of the Masons and renounce the blood oath because it carries a generational curse of four generations. It's very significant. It's very serious. It's not playing around. They got to know what they're involved in. I'll leave it at that. Okay, so where are we today?
Well, obviously, it's kind of like I said, we're going to have to find a way in America to rise above the noise level that's happening down here and all the things that are dividing us as a country. And we're going to have to find ways to come together. It is the only path to getting America on the right road. And there are tremendous amounts of distractions in the process.
Yeah.
I've watched them happen on this show, all through the summer, whether it's things about the sovereign movement or the 13th Amendment or the issue we're talking about here with masonry and and there's been so many things that splinter even the Patriot movement. And somewhere in here, all of us are going to have to dig deep and figure out what it is that we need inside to rise above this and lock arms as a people, as a nation under God, and get America on the right road.
Only way is going back to God. Can't do it legally. Because where he said, I'm not going to go over it again, but it's supernatural. The war is not natural. This entire war is supernatural.
I do think there is good and evil in the world. We agree on these things, uh-huh. and I do believe that we can, as a nation, that we can seek guidance from God, and we can find actions and steps to move forward. That will be blessed, that will help us succeed at our task.
Get the head of the Patriot Group to start doing prayer groups throughout the United States.
And so I really, the moral destruction of America and the whole Communist Manifesto and the things were done to destroy the family, to remove anything about the Bible or God from our schools, anything about our American in our heritage and our civil rights and our liberties, and the prices that we're paid for our freedom, all these things that we move that our children don't know about. These are the things that it's been a systematic destruction of our way of life, right?
That's correct.
And it's going to be up to us to rise above these problems and divisions and issues and all these side distractions along the way. It's the only way that we're going to get America on the right road is united. It's not a stupid saying, united we stand, divided we fall. If we are divided, we fall. There's no doubt about it. It had been interesting to watch. When I started this journey 6 months ago, I had no idea that so many of these things divided even the people in this country want to put our constitution in place. And it's amazing, and it's a daunting task. That's why I was saying earlier tonight, Tom, that the generation of people that care about America is that we're going to have to find a way. They're not going to believe this whole story. Most people's normal biases are not going to believe what you're talking about.
Nope.
So we're going to have to frame up the message if we want to get people en masse to lock our to get America back. We got to find a better way to send the message. And, you know, that's something that I care about figuring out the right way to do. And hopefully there'll be enough people that want to do the same thing, and we can start getting this message out to America. Is this the only path that we have to get back on the right road? You know, is to get America to unite and to seek guidance from God. So, but it has been.
This is a great way to start American Liberty Live.
Yep.
Absolutely.
American Liberty Live is a great way to get people together and get people. I don't care if it takes one person at a time. It's just going to take time, but we'll get it all together. And pretty soon there's going to be thousands of people on here.
There you go.
Well,
I believe it. I believe in the power of God to do whatever it is he wants to accomplish here. You know? And I don't know what the end game is there, but I will keep running forward, you know? And I feel compelled that he doesn't want me to row this boat, you know? But I know that this is a boat I'm supposed to be rowing. I have no idea where he's taking this boat.
Well, we're all in the same boat, and it only took 56 men to write the Constitution. And we're well above 56 men so and women.
Absolutely.
We can take right. This country back. This is not a problem, people. Don't get discouraged. This is not a problem. We are going to get it back.
There is hope, you know, for, you know, but it's like, you know, I do think it does take America, you know, turning around, you know, the path that it's been on of moral destruction, you know. All right, Jackson has slipped in the room here from Louisiana. How you doing, Jackson?
I'm doing good. How's everybody else doing?
Good.
I think they're doing good. Do you have a question for our guest?
I just have a comment. I know Uncertain's a Freemason, and I know we need to keep God in America. And sorry, Uncertain, I just want to kind of use you as an example here just for a second to prove my point. It's going to take Uncertain's belief in God and in Uncertain's morals that even though he is a Freemason, if he ever sees anything wrong or he starts acting and doing things without full understanding, then he would become a problem. It's up to each individual
right.
to make their